to the Man Up Podcast.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
A spiritual oasis for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
So, for the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men, this is Man Up.
And welcome, everybody. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men, podcast number 225, hard to believe. And we're glad you're here. And where is here? Here is Sugar Land, Texas. So grab a globe, spin it around, bang! Not sure where you ended up, but spin around, find Texas. Southeast side of Texas is Houston. Southwest side of Houston is Sugar Land. We're not pastors. We're just regular guys. And each of us are on our own spiritual journey. We feel all men are leaders, leaders of your families, leaders at work, leaders in your church and community. But sometimes that lead dog needs to be fed and spiritually recharged, and that's why you're here. We are here. So whether you found us on Facebook, SoundCloud, where we archive all of our podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, our website, which is at man-upspiritualoasis.com or pray.com, we're glad you're joining us. And we're on this No Church Answers tour, and we're glad you've joined us. So what we do here is we go through a basic ABF, Adult Bible Fellowship, or Sunday school lesson. We update it. We peel it like an onion, different layers. And we have a great cast of men here and put a man spin on it as well. So we're going to go ahead and introduce the panel at this time. He's a former world-class policy writer, and I'm fairly certain a current professional gambler. He's our producer, Mr. Steve Titch.
All right, Steve.
And he is a corporate trainer, kind of the group theologian. We call him the Professor Robert Koshu.
Hello, Robert.
And service and logistics guy, but I like to call him the evangelist. Earl Lloyd's back in the house.
Hey, Earl.
And he is a, I guess I'd have to call you a former prosecutor, but probably still an attorney. I'm still going to call you the judge. Michael Cropper.
Did you say a form of a prosecutor or a former prosecutor?
Form of a, right.
He was a formidable prosecutor.
And my name is Bill Cox. I'm basically a contractor, salesman guy, and basically the director of Man Up. And at this point in time, we are starting a new study, and I want to go ahead and I'll turn it over to Steve Titch and give us a basic overview of what we're getting into.
I'll just start by saying, you know, this is where we get to find out how the Bible is like the Marvel Universe. In that, now I say that because when WandaVision ran on Disney Plus and Loki ran, and even some of the movies come out, when they were on Disney Plus, when each episode came out, within 24 hours, the web would light up whenever there was a new character introduced, and you'd get these fans tracing the history of that character, even to earlier movies or the comic book origins, and they'd run back, Monica Rambeau, she was a little girl in Captain Marvel, and now she's all grown up in S.H.I.E.L.D. in WandaVision, or they name-checked Jane Foster, or Bruce Banner. When Loki dropped, there was all sorts of information coming out about who was Kang the Conqueror, who was He Who Remains, who was Ravenna Renslayer, and they'd point out, she appeared in Avengers number 122, or then that character appeared in Thor 720. And this is what I'm getting at is this is the way we're going to find out, at least in this study of Judges. We're going to go back to Caleb. Now, I can imagine all sorts of Hebrew fanboys in the ancient times when they unrolled the scroll of chapter 1 of Judges, and Caleb appears, and somebody said, "Hey, wait! He appears in Joshua, and this guy Jephunneh. He's you hear about him in Numbers. Oh, wow! And all sorts of things." Now I'm getting way too excited about this, but
it's okay to be that way.
But it's also it demonstrates how interconnected the Bible is, and why context is important. And we find Caleb has an interesting story that meets its fruition here in this first chapter of Judges, and we'll do more of that.
Excellent. Earl, your basic overview of this first lesson in Judges.
I like Tish's, you know, I like his analyzation, but I'm going to go with the analyzation of how God took these 12 or 13 judges and where they came from. And I like what I like to do is see things how they how God's strategic plan and what he did in reference to writing this story. And then I like to put that with the story that myself or just looking at some of you all stories and how God strategically, you know, got us up to this present moment. He does some unique things in these 12 judges' lives to have them fight for this particular piece of land that he was going to give them. And it's what I like, one of the authors call it, fight for freedom. And God's plan is just always perfect, and we'll get to see some of his work. And you could take that same work that you see in these writings and put them into the work that we see in our own lives.
Excellent. Michael Cropper, your overview of this lesson.
Yeah, this is the first lesson in the Book of the Conquerors, I think, like you mentioned, and it is about Caleb, and I think it's fantastic. Caleb is one of the most prominent influential Jews to leave Egypt. He's a leader of the tribe of Judah. He was one of the 12 tribes and spies, that is, Moses sent to reconnoiter, that is, militarily explore. I had to look that word up, guys. The land
Scout.
Of Egypt.
Scout.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Intelligence.
And later, one of two sent by Joshua to scout out the city of Jericho. We got your word in there, Robert. He's brave, humble, and loyal. But here's what I want to get after. Steve sets us up with some directives and some thoughts he provides that we might talk about on the podcast. And two of them that he provided was that this is faith and fear. And I wholly identify with that. Caleb left Egypt with Moses, Aaron, and all the Israelites. All the Israelites saw the hand of the Lord deliver the Israelites from Egypt with all the plagues. When they had left Egypt, he provided food for them out of thin air, which they call manna. He provided water out of thin air for them, and actually it'd do through streams and various springs. He would provide shade for them during the day from the sun. He'd provide light for them by fire at night. All the Israelites had the opportunity to see these fantastic things God did numerous and numerous and numerous times. So when they came to the land of Canaan, the promised land, which they were to enter because God had given it to them, he also told them to go into the land and scout it out. And Moses sent 12 people, one from each leader of each tribe, and they went into the land and looked at the land and the people and the inhabitants. And 10 of them came back with such fear that it routed all the Israelites. Two of them came back, who were Joshua and Caleb, with such faith and such promise that God rewarded them later. But those 10 people set up the fear in the camp of the Israelites so that they grumbled, and they had the opportunity to stop doing this, and they didn't do it. So all faced fear and faith, and two of them came back with faith, 10 of them came back with fear. So, and like I said, this is unique. The first lesson we're talking about, the first judge we're talking about is Caleb. And he's a great person to look at, and we can compare in our own lives with how we affect people around us. Bill?
Excellent. Professor, your overview of this.
I'm just going to say first, you know, we're in Sugar Land, Texas, outside of the city of Houston, Texas, where we are still playing baseball, baby.
Oh, nice.
This is a very interesting period. So just to kind of historically set it up. So you have the Exodus. They wander around the wilderness for about 60 years-ish, depending. Joshua becomes the leader. They go conquer Canaan. There's about a 300 period where it's called the period of the judges. And then Saul, who we've talked about along with his protege David, became king. So this is kind of the period right before Saul. So
that's a long period.
Yeah, it is a long period. It is a long period. But the easiest way to think about this, if I'm going to steal Steve's analogy a little bit, this is the Captain Marvel movie that was set up kind of before, you know, everybody all happened and showed up, just to kind of set things up a little bit as far as what was going to go and how it was going to go. the judges are an interesting group of people. So most people, when they hear the word judges, they think Mike.
We think of Mike.
Yeah, we think of Mike. But the judges
Mike is the 13th judge.
In the real world, they were they were military leaders. Now, Joshua and Samuel, if you're counting them in the judges, and some people do, by the way, then they are the exception to that because they were also the religious leaders. But the judges themselves that we talk about were all really military leaders, and not just military leaders, but very specific. They were rose up for a very specific period, for a very specific threat, to handle that threat. And judges is an interesting cycle that it runs through with the sovereignty of God. Israel sins, usually by idolatry, and basically that's related back to the original command from the Exodus and the covenant where you were supposed to go in and take possession of land and kill everything and wipe everybody out. And oops, didn't do that. Then Israel cries out. God has mercy, fills a judge with the Holy Spirit to lead Israel and bring them back to God after defeating the enemies. And then Israel gets a period of rest. And then the whole cycle starts all over again with it. And it's interesting because they're not really judges like we think about Mike, you know, and a judge sitting up there. They're really warlords. If you really look at them, they're warlords, you know, who raise up an army and do that. And I'm really, really excited about the overall stretch of judges. We are going to go off script and talk about my favorite judge.
So why do they call them judges, Robert?
The Samson, the Hebrew playboy. Because the judges, the Bible does. The Bible
I agree.
You know, from this period to this period during the time, fill in the blank, was judging Israel. And by the way, for all you guys out there, here, women can't be preachers and leaders. Yeah, there's a female judge. Amen. Get over it.
Amen. Amen.
You know, That's right. And the best part about it is the female was going to let the guy handle everything, and he blew it, and she got all the credit anyway.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, and with that, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm just going to go a little different direction in this. You got to imagine the Israelites, they've been in captivity for 400 years, and yet they're in a mere 60 years, they go from being wanderers to being conquerors, and to being soldiers to take over this land. And then you have to imagine that once they've taken over the land, they have to find a way to make the land productive. So they have to become farmers, and they have to become people that live in close proximity of each other. They're no longer nomadic. They're no longer told what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I think they need these judges to keep the peace among the people and to decide the decisions. But it's going to take a couple of generations to go from being a people that were a warring people, and then that's going to have to die off, to the people that are there, that are settled, that are more of agrarian and that kind of thing. So and with that, I'm going to go ahead and read the there's two particular scriptures reading, and the first one's Joshua 14, 6 through 12. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. And now Judges 1:1-2, 8-13, and 20. After the death of Joshua, Israelites asked the Lord, who of us is to go up first to fight against the Canaanites? The Lord answered, Judah will go up. I have given the land into their hands. The men of Judah attacked Jerusalem also and took it. They put the city to the sword and set it on fire. After that, Judah went to fight against the Canaanites living in the hill country, the Negev, and the western foothills. They advanced against the Canaanites living in Hebron, formerly called Kiriath Abra, and defeated Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there, they advanced against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter Achnash in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. And so Caleb gave his daughter Aksa to him in marriage. As Moses had promised, Hebron was given to Caleb, who drove from it the three sons of Anak.
I can't imagine what your daughter would say if you offered her up to get some, get a conquering of a land, Bill. I have two daughters, by the way, also, but I brought that up 2 weeks ago. I was thinking that's funny. Bill says, I'll give you
Earl's
my daughter.
Got three.
Earl, he does have three. Wow. Can't imagine offering them up for property. But anyway.
Hey, that dowry thing was a real thing back in the day. Yes, it really was. You know, well, because remember, agrarian society, family was of value. Now, we all think of children as cost. Because, seriously, you know, run the numbers on what you spend on your children for daycare, college, cars.
You said run the numbers.
Medical care. That's a lot of numbers. Clothing.
Numbers that you run, what you call it, infinity. I mean, you just keep running those.
You don't stop.
So but you didn't have to pay for college if you gave them away, right?
Yeah, there you go. But back then, the more children you had,
your sons were your labor.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. The daughters ran the house.
And your daughters were... were a dowry, where another source of income, because they were
or valued. A strategic alliance. Yeah. You know, you could marry them off to a wealthy or connected family, and then that meant you were connected.
Or you know, they could be a reward for it.
Right, but I think the big thing about the roles of these judges are, and these particular stories, are stories of courage. And people of faith, and you know, it's funny, the ones that had faith and didn't make it, they didn't make it in the story either. But I think what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to take these stories, and it may not be a mountain to an outsider, but it may be a mountain to us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to have faith to continue to be diligent in.
The other thing here,
these stories can actually inspire you. The beautiful thing about Caleb, one of you all may mention about one of the judges was a female. Well, Caleb was a Gentile, and my dad and my dad go back and forth about mm-hmm. this. He don't believe Gentiles had a stake in anything, mm-hmm. and even Ruth was a Gentile, mm-hmm. but Caleb was a Gentile, and God used him and. Let me ask you this. Do you know what your name means? I asked my class this. Do you know what your name means? Well, Caleb's name means dog, brave. And he had that dog mentality. When he was a spy, he went over there. Him and Joshua came back. They were the only two that was confident that we could take this with the Lord. And the Bible makes mention, according to the scripture that Bill read, Caleb was all in. He was in wholeheartedly with God. So he was all in. He was all in. So this that in itself is just inspiring, just reading a story.
Yeah, and with that, we're going to go back and take our very first break. And when we get back, we'll be talking more about Dog. So this is Man Up, podcast number 225. We'll be right back.
Hey, pastors and church leaders. Are you looking to create an exciting program that will attract, engage, and inspire men in your congregation? Book a live Man Up Spiritual Oasis podcast for your next men's ministry event. Called Authentic, Gritty, and Unexpectedly Funny, Man Up has been delighting podcast listeners since 2017. We're not pastors, just regular guys willing to talk about scripture and how we can apply it to our personal faith journeys. Man Up is a refreshing alternative to predictable motivational speakers, offering your audience a chance to connect with everyday Christian men who don't settle for routine Sunday school answers. Interested in learning more? Visit man-upspiritualoasis.com or contact Bill Cox at liveshow@manupmedia.org. And now, back to the fellows of Man Up.
All right, and with that, we're going to go ahead and get back. And, you know, I kind of agree with the fact about Dog. If you think about the type of livestock that they probably had in that area, because it's an arid climate, they probably had a lot of goats and sheep, whereas a dog would be instrumental in helping you with that. So Dog, I mean, and it's kind of funny, you know, it depends on the context of where you're at. You talk about people, you know, in suburbs now, they think of Dog and they think of a fluffy little pet, as opposed with a work animal or something, or you know, you talk about you know, farm people or people out in the country, you know, you think of a scrubby old dog, you know, and so it has different contexts when you call, you know, a dog.
So that was, you know, the interesting part of this, when we first start off with Judges in the first verse, it says after the death of Joshua, the people asked the Lord, who are we going to send up first? You don't hear him mention Caleb's name. Mm-mm. He said, send Judah. Well, Caleb was a leader of Judah, right? Right. That's why they, I guess it wasn't necessary to put in there that the Lord said, send Caleb and the tribe of Judah. He just said, send the tribe of Judah. I've already prepared the people for them to conquer.
Right.
I think Earl's point was really interesting, because when the Jewish people were traveling in the wilderness,
amen,
the Midianites, mm-hmm, Caleb's clan,
his was an Edomite.
Yeah,
Edomites. They were kinfolks of Esau.
Yeah,
Jacob's brother.
There were several miscellaneous groups, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that, for lack of a better term, became converts to Yahweh.
Yep,
and followed Israel into. And it's interesting because they're counted in the censuses in Numbers, mm-hmm, and they're given an apportionment of the land, mm-hmm, as if. And what's super interesting is, anybody recognize the land Caleb was given? It's very important land.
It takes us back to the, you know, like the MCU kind of. It is the Anakites, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they are descendants of the Nephilim.
Yeah,
who are the giants of, yeah, the amen, giants, yep, in the earth of mm-hmm, I guess, mm-hmm, earlier in Genesis,
and the land itself is includes Jerusalem.
Yes,
right. It's like, yeah, we're going to give you, go clean that up and make it ready for us, so we can have
so
it.
So those sons of Anak that are referenced at the end of this reading refer back to the giants of Genesis. Yep.
Two points I thought Robert might hit on this, that when the Israelites went over in that land, they you know, they was mingling all the people over there, and they Caleb's they absorbed into the tribe of Judah, you know, mm-hmm, because they start, you know, partying with them and serving their gods and things. So it's just like Ruth became a part of the Israelites. And remember what she said, that my God, your God will be my God and your people will be my people. Well, Caleb, he kind of chimed in with the Israelites. And he before you know it, he was, and like I say, he had that dog mentality. And God loved his willingness to serve him, Yahweh.
Well, you can think of him as a mercenary, though.
Mm-hmm. Really? No.
You don't think
so?
No.
Mercenaries for hire. He may, that's the way he may have started, but Earl said that the scripture tells us he was all in. He believed in God wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Wholehearted.
Right.
Wholehearted.
And he was not, no, his, this was, in fact, his leadership, I'm going to argue with you, his leadership, okay, came out really early in the game.
Right.
When he was on that mission, he said, it's time to go, guys. And then we go back to our podcast.
Him and Joshua were the only two.
And the other guys were just afraid. They said they saw the giants there. Okay. And God clearly wanted them to go. And because they grumbled, they ended up roaming around for 40 years. But and I mean, and then we get to this lovely part of Joshua, which you read, where now apparently Caleb is 85 years old.
Amen.
He's still ready to go. He's
not only that, he believed. He believed when he was 40 years old. Right. When they said that land was his, he believed that.
Yes.
45 years later, like you say, he was still believed. He believed on that word. And when we believe on God's word, man, that's just inspiration. That fills us up, man. Mm-hmm. It's just like you having a vision for not only man up for these podcasts 225 times ago. You had a vision of this, and you've yet to stop them. That's how Caleb was. He had a vision for what God said he knew was going to happen.
I guess maybe I used the wrong mercenary as the wrong term, but what I meant to say is he was a warrior, and he was he was glad he was picked to be the expedition.
Exactly.
He was, that is the kind of opportunity.
Just like Robert said, these were warlords,
he's
man.
He's fit for that kind of opportunity.
I'm going to go one better than you because this is really a man up moment for Caleb.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. He maybe had the training, but, you know, God chose him.
Amen. Amen. Don't forget.
Maybe he was, maybe some people didn't like him. Obviously, he was good enough to get chosen to be on that mission.
Yeah.
But there his point of view didn't carry the day. So are we going to listen to the Kezanite over there? Or are you going to listen to me? That kind of thing. But he manned up and he knew. He got his opportunity. He didn't stay in the back. I'm ready to go, and he was ready to go then in numbers,
right?
And now he's ready to go here, and he's just waiting for the order,
right?
And, and he was the right man, and God recognized him as the right man, not seeing the fact that he wasn't born from the tribe, from the blood tribe of Judah. He was an attachment,
he was adopted, and I think that's an important parallel for us as Christians, because with Christ we're adopted in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're the members of one body. We're the members of the same body.
But the same way, there's no question that Caleb was the leader of Judah. There's no question that he wasn't, okay, you're half Israeli. No, mm-hmm. he was the leader of Judah, yeah, mm-hmm. and they followed him. This is someone who basically mm-hmm. came in either shortly after, he probably was not in mm-hmm. Egypt with them. He came in with them into Egypt. He was assigned a spy, and I love it because Earl's right, man. He is like all in,
man.
Baby,
all in.
I saw it. It's great land. It's good. God is with us. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And him and Joshua were the only two that did that. And everybody's like, oh, I don't know about this. That's all the giants said,
He saw the importance. And when they came back, when the 12 spies came back from viewing Canaan, mm-hmm. the land of Canaan, he saw the importance of squelching or stopping any fear right away.
Oh.
Y'all remember? He came back, and the 10 of them says, first of all, he and Josh said, let's go get it. It's ours. God's giving it to us. The 10 says, oh, no, we can't do it. We're grasshoppers. They have huge cities. They're large. They will absolutely destroy us and tear us apart. And then Caleb immediately stopped and said, oh no, we can go take the land right now. He didn't say wait. He knew the importance of focusing their minds off the fear, right?
It's always the new guy.
Sometimes it takes a new guy.
He's the guy doesn't go along with the group.
He's the one who's most passionate about it. He's the one who says, this is, the Lord is with us. He says we get together every Sabbath in the wilderness and we pray, we praise, and we ask for God's deliverance and God's mercy. So, and God's certainly the strength of God on our side. We saw that manna in the wilderness. Are we going to cop out now? I mean, he's calling them out.
And
that is, you'll find that among new converts. And I don't know how long he was
Yes.
But he was not blood tribe, which also is very significant because in this time and age, blood tribes was really important, and chances are socially he worked his way up to being commander of Judah, but it took him 85 years, and socially he was probably on the people were skeptical about him because he's not, okay, he's adopted, but he's not blood.
Yeah, but he hung around with Moses and Joshua.
Yes, I think Moses gave him some. They set the example. Yep. You know, this is the guy, and so.
No, he had so much faith. Mm-hmm. He dove right in. Sometimes the faith overcomes wisdom. Right, y'all have all seen a new convert, like you said, Steve, where he just dives into a battle without even saying, "What am I doing?" The Lord is calling me to this. He dives in, and anyway,
right. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our second break. This is the Man Up Spiritual Oasis for Men, podcast number 225, and we will be right back.
You are listening to the Man Up Spiritual Oasis for Men podcast, originating out of Sugar Land, Houston, Texas, USA. It's the faith-based man podcast that women enjoy too. Called authentic, timely, and unexpectedly funny, Man Up has been encouraging and entertaining audiences since 2016 and continues to be one of the fastest-growing shows in its segment. Want to book a speaker, show, or post a comment? Go to Man Up on Facebook or our website, www.man-upspiritualoasis.com. And now back to the No Church Answers Tour and the Fellows of Man Up.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men podcast. Starting our new study, and this is the study of Judges, and starting out with Caleb. And now this is what we do here. We kind of update stuff, we put a man spin on it. Now we're going to go ahead and try and apply some of these lessons that we talked about to our own lives. And start on get the professor in here.
This is all about believing God over fear. And I think, I'm looking at, so this is 2021. If anybody, we know people going to listen to our podcast from years past. So sometimes I like putting a date on it. So we're in October 2021. They announced today that Social Security is going to have the highest increase it has had in 10-plus years. It's going to get a 5.9% increase next year.
Hey.
Why? Why?
Yeah. Because of 65.
Yeah. Why? Because inflation is through the roof. We're still dealing with the back end of a pandemic. The Taliban just took back over Afghanistan. China's flying stuff over to Taiwan on a daily basis. There's a lot to be fearful of in life. But how do we engage our faith to avoid that fear? And I think that's the message from Caleb. Because Caleb, he looked at it. I mean, he saw the same thing the other 10 guys saw. He saw the giants. He saw evidently they had great cities, which back then meant a 10-foot-high wall around 5 city blocks with a bunch of stone. But you know, and they had real armies. The Israelites, they really weren't an army yet. You know, they were a militia.
But yeah, they were not, they didn't have armies. They
right.
Yeah.
They
had militia.
Yeah.
They had militia.
I wanna
to fight.
I want to go ahead and do a quick U-turn about if there's anybody out there that's not depressed after they heard Professor Kosu do all the problems of fearing. In modern day United States, 2021, I want to give people a tool to use, and it's called the stone and water. When a stone hits the water, it produces ripples, and they go out farther. I want to make sure that everybody knows that I absolutely believe that you will positively influence that ripple that is right next to you, because you're here listening to Man Up. And those other farther ripples out there, like the ones that are out in Afghanistan and stuff, well, your positive influence may work that, and it may or may not, but don't let it ruin your day. So I just wanted to go ahead and throw that in as we get back to get back to Caleb.
But I think that's the key. The key is, how do you let your faith overcome that fear? And I think that's where the things we talk about, exercising your faith muscle, where you are in the Bible, you're praying, you're doing corporate worship, you're serving, you know, however you serve.
Well, know? Also, what's in your lane?
Yeah.
What's in your lane? I mean, me freaking out about Afghanistan is going to do nothing but hurt my day.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect what's going on there or any people there.
And believe, you know, believe in the Word. The Word tells us God's not going to give us more than we are able to handle. He says He's going to give us what we need to meet our daily needs. Now, that's going to fly in the face of some of our current preachers out there, because they want to say He's going to overabundance and overflow you. Yeah, whatever. Get over it. He's going to meet your needs, you know? And I think that, recognizing that, helps you get over the fear, too.
And recognizing...
It's locking in, yeah.
Recognizing the fact that He was wholeheartedly in, and if you wholeheartedly into God's plan, and go through the plays that Robert just called off, worshiping, praying, doing your meditation, doing your devotion, and just if that doesn't fill you with the faith that you're supposed to have anyway, I mean, and you wholeheartedly in, that inspires you, that leaps you over the Afghanistan, the pandemic, and all of what, and then always say this, go back to all of what God has brought you through. Just reminisce, go through the archives of your own life, and see how He's brought you up into this present moment, and that in itself should propel you to just have faith to know that God is going to take you through all the little issues and circumstances and crises that Robert Kachu just named off. Be wholeheartedly in, like Caleb. Like I told you, this is just the beginning. All 12 of these individuals have a unique a sense of inspiration that you could just draw a little vibe from, or get it, they got some contagious a faith that you could draw from, and go back to the verse that, for we know that all things work for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And if you believe that, just like Caleb believed that land was his when he was 40, even after he got to 85, he still believed it. And if you believe God's word from day one and still believe on all His promises, you fine. You should be fine.
Fear, the author speaks about fear again, coming back to that, and he says fear is contagious, and faith is contagious.
Amen.
As well.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
Now, when I was a new Christian, or whenever I'd given my life to serve the Lord, I remember being around people who had fear, and that tended to thwart my walk with the Lord, my path in the Lord. And what you have to do, and what the guys are saying here, folks, if you get around negative people, they will throw you off, and they can produce a fear in you. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you to choose the things, as Robert has said, Steve Earle has said, it's up to you to choose the things that will block out the fear. And it may be that you have to read the Bible, you attend church, you talk to friends, you call them up on the phone, talk with them. Those who are positive, in other words, get away from the negative people. It's like, what did your parents say when you were little? Don't hang around with the wrong crowd.
Wow, amen.
The same thing goes with our faith walk in the Lord. Don't hang around with the people that will cause fear in you, or tell you not to do what you know to do is right. Pray, read the Bible, attend church, minister with your friends and brothers and such like that.
Our former pastor, Pastor Phil, did say, turn off talk radio. Turn off the news. Get the information you need, but don't listen to it all day.
The thing is, and this here's what I get out of Scripture, everything, you know, along with everything you've said. When you really read Scripture and appreciate it, you also begin to see what's important. And I say that a lot. And
it's true.
And you know, yeah, what's on talk radio isn't important. You if you're, you know, getting angry over what some state senator said in some other state that really you don't even vote for, that doesn't even affect you. That's and we've talked about this before. Talk radio and Facebook, they're all designed to give you that jolt. And you'd be surprised how many people, that's their only sense of living, is when they're mad about something. I mean, it's sad, but I think that's what drives those negative people. I'm feeling something. It's an unhappy emotion, but it's something. Yeah. I mean, the Bible turns that all on its head, and kind of and certainly God does. I should say the Bible, but really a walk with God leads you to understand what's important. And I'm not, you know, it's not all roses and light for those who are poised, you know, not necessarily believers. You're not, you know, it's not happy, you know, running through flower place. You know, we do get scared about things. We worry about our children. We worry about if we're sick. There is some fear there. But what I think you get from God is perspective. That a lot of stuff we worry about in this earthly realm doesn't matter.
It's all about keeping the main thing the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like we talked about in our two Flamethrower podcasts. Mm-hmm. By the way, thank you for our new listeners who've commented and mentioned to that about those two podcasts. But it is. It's about keeping what's the main thing. The main thing is, like Steve said, God's in control.
God's in control.
You know,
he's in control.
And when you start getting all wound up, because, hey, it's easy to get wound up. You know, take a deep breath. Wait. God's got this. You know, I got to do what I got to do. But sitting and worrying about it, you know, it's the Philippians chapter, be anxious for nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, sitting and worrying about it ain't solving it.
I think it's also about patience, because he had the first idea
40 years before.
40 years before, and he was patient enough to wait. And I can tell you that, I mean, and the books of the Bible, they're all the same. What's different is me. And the age and where I am in my life when I read this stuff. And I can tell you, I was not patient as a young man. I'm even less patient now. And so that's one thing about this lesson that it teaches me. And also, you're equipped. You are equipped when you find that sweet spot. He was patient, and he did get a swing.
Mm-hmm.
And he went for it, you know, and I, that's the lesson for us, and look for it in your life.
Go back to something Steve mentioned. It's very true. And I know this is repeating what he said, but folks, do not listen to YouTube and conspiracy theories, and do not listen to fear. I say that, yeah, Robert's laughing over here, but I have a brother who's involved with it.
I'm laughing because it's so true.
He's paranoid because he's been listing so many things about the government is all behind all sorts of things that are happening. They're behind the flu that we're experiencing, and it's set up to get rid of old people and all sorts of things. And
oh,
folks,
not?
You can find whatever.
It's not.
Yeah, or not. You can find whatever you want on YouTube. You can find anything to support your theory for fear. And if you keep on, you will lose your mind practically, or it will control your mind. Don't do it. Like Steve said, like Robert says, like Bill, Earl, turn it off, right? If you find your mind getting confused, you find your mind is getting fearful from whatever you're listening to, or and music can be that way, right? Guys, you know that from some of the heavy metal bands and everything that scream and yell, and some even taught whether a person was killed during Symphony for a Devil with the Rolling Stones years ago. Don't listen to that stuff.
Rolling Stones.
But anyway,
Angels, but what Rolling Stones didn't quite mix.
You yes, just
psychotropic drugs at Tom.
Yeah, be really careful.
Avoid Altamont.
So Striper was okay then. All
turn
right,
off the
you.
TV, turn off the radio, turn off the trash. I'm sorry, forgive me.
And Earl Lloyd, how about a couple of takeaways from this week's podcast?
Well, I'm going to use your term. I'm a U-turn. I'm a U-turn in reference to turning off the negative stuff. And a lot of times you can watch the news and you can listen to all of that, what's going on out there, and say, wow, all of that was out there and God kept me. Had a fence all around me, and you can look at that perspective in reference of just gaining faith. And number two, a lot of times you watch football, and a lot of times, and even just watching the Astros, and you hear these guys just drawing inspiration off each other. I mean, you get a guy on the field, and you see them hyped up, and you see them making plays, and that energy, it translates. Well, it's the same way in this journey, in this ministry that we on. You can just see, you know, you see Bills, and you see Tish exuberant in their energy. That's contagious. That's contagious. So sometimes you just look at other Christians and see their persona and see the impact that they are leaving. And you want to, you know, just like the jailer who asked Paul, and this is the kind of lives that we should be living. The jailer who asked Paul when Paul and Silas was in jail, what must I do to get some of that what you all have?
That is awesome. Michael Cropper, a couple of takeaways from you as we wrap up.
Yeah, we didn't really touch on it, but the one of the lesson notes and thoughts that we've talked about is the lesson is about mentoring, right? You have Moses who mentored Joshua, who mentored Caleb as well. That means he taught them, he led them, he was an example for them. What he taught them, you can either take it or you can leave it. And they took it. Those two particular guys took it. The author made a great statement at the very first of our lesson, and you guys have been talking about this. Each of us today will either be conquered by life or we'll be conquerors in life through the power of God. I think that's absolutely amazing. It's so true. You're either going to get run over or you're going to be victorious in what you do. The author also made another couple of statements on page 17. He said, page 18. He says, Caleb, who we talked about, became the father-in-law of Othniel, or the mentor to Othniel. As I had said, Moses was mentor to Caleb. Caleb now is a father-in-law to Othniel, his brother's son or his nephew. Caleb did what the older generation should do, and that was, and you guys have said this very clearly, inspire the next generation to serve God and to trust God wholeheartedly. For fear is contagious, but so is faith. And then finally, folks, as men and man up, our lives are going to serve as examples. Mm-hmm. People are watching and learning to live in faith or live in fear by observing our lives and how we react to the things happening in the world around us. So by all means, folks, react in faith or don't react. All right, Bill.
Excellent. I'll go ahead and let you follow that, Professor.
That's about right. It really is, I think, as Caleb did, looking and maintaining your relationship with God. Now, I like Earl's new, follow the playbook. Follow the playbook to exercise your faith muscle. You know, worship, study, prayer, service, you know, fellowship with other Christian men. You know, follow those things to let those things inspire you so that you have the faith to overcome your fear. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about service for just a super quick moment. Find your niche. Mm. Because not everybody has the same niche of service. I have a service. I like to hang out with our young people. I went on the retreat this weekend with them. I guarantee you, not everybody wants to go hang out with teenagers for an entire weekend. You know, and I know that, and I recognize it, but I like it. That's one reason why I refuse to kind of give it up, because I like it, I'm good at it, and I enjoy doing it. You know, find your niche for service. I think, you know, be it Bill likes to go feed the homeless.
Well, that takes just away the temptation to be self-absorbed or the tendency to fall into
self-absorbed. Yeah, absolutely.
You're outwardly focused.
You take yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit, because it is something different, but find the way to serve, because when you exercise that faith muscle with all those pieces, it lets you totally avoid that fear that can come when you see all the things.
Amen.
Because you have, as Bill says, you've built up your faith credits.
Amen.
Excellent. Mr. Steve Titch.
I'm going to wrap up by going off on not really a small tangent, but someone looking at this and looking ahead, I'm going to throw in a few words about violence in the Bible. we've been talking about, the whole story we've been talking about is a conquest. And we read in the passage, the whole, you know, Jerusalem, you know, cities are burned, people are put to the sword. These are among the most violent stories in the Bible coming forward. You know, we're gonna get R-rated violence. We get a tent peg through a skull, a sword driven to the hilt through a belly. We skipped in this chapter one the passage about the conquered kings having their thumbs and big toes cut off. That's a very cruel punishment when you think about it. And you know, you can't walk and you can't pick up any things. And it's something the Israelites did to their enemies. But so I'm going to leave it at this. These stories are lessons in good and evil. And these, mm-hmm. I'm going to get half our listenership mad at us. These stories are somewhat tales of the mighty heroes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They're somewhat mythic. And since I began with Marvel, I'm going to close with Star Wars. We have this modern myth of Star Wars. And what happens in Star Wars? Planets are blown up. Space stations are blown up. And if you get into some of the latter day stuff that they filled in, like the Clone Wars animated series and the Rebel series, there's some real violence in there. And it's somewhat, you know, are these good guys or bad guys? We don't know. They're good guys, but they're doing bad things. So let me leave it at this. It's one thing to understand Judges as God-breathed revelation that God is faithful and will deliver us from evil if we trust and obey and will give us the strength to overcome the obstacles in our daily lives. And that's what we've been talking about for this podcast. It's another thing to believe that these stories mean that we should engage in a literal jihad,
mm-hmm.
killing non-believers, which we heard, unfortunately, from Christians in the days after 9/11, that they saw one particular religion as evil, and many said we should put them all to the sword or all to the nuclear bomb. That's not how we read Judges, people. We read it not as a literal call to violence and killing of non-believers, but a revelation of God's grace and mercy to us,
mm-hmm.
when we fall.
When we deserve it.
And we'll continue that in the coming weeks.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go in a little different direction than that. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to close up by this is saying that if you have knowledge, share your knowledge. Be a mentor. And if you have a mentor, pay attention to that mentor, because then not only will you be blessed, but your mentor will be blessed and your mentee will be blessed. And everybody gets a win out of that. And with that, thanks so much for tuning in. This is Man Up, Spiritual Oasis for Men, Podcast 225. And on behalf of our producer, Mr. Steve Titch, Michael Cropper, Robert Koshu, Earl Lloyd. My name is Bill Cox, and we're on this No Church Answers tour. And check out our new YouTube channel. Additionally, whether you found us on Facebook, SoundCloud, where we archive all of our podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Pray.com. If you have a question or comment, you can go to our Facebook page or man-upspiritualoasis.com and post it there. And if you're unable to attend a church, check out the Sugarland Baptist streaming service. It's on Facebook, YouTube, and sugarlandbaptist.org. Starts Sundays at 9:45 a.m. And when you're ready, we encourage each and every one of you to join a local Bible-based church. Why local? So you'll go and participate and find a small group, ABF, Adult Bible Fellowship, or Sunday school class that you can join for in-depth discussions like this, and find one that is men only. And if there's one, start one. This is Man Up.
You've been listening to Man Up.
You've got answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dedicated to the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You can contact us on Facebook under Man-Up. Post questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Man Up Podcast.